Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Compass. Thank you for just braving the rain. Man, it is pouring out there. I went outside just to see what it was like, and there's a couple downspouts on the outside of the building, and there's just like this river, a waterfall of water. And so I had to go out and stick my hand under it. And my daughter's laughing at me because I look like an idiot. But I just had to experience the weather. So thank you for joining us today. It is great to see all of you. I want to tell you guys about a friend of mine named Dylan. Now, Terry and I were youth pastors at a church about 7 years ago. And in our youth ministry, we had a bunch of, we started really small because we were part of a church plant. And we watched it grow and we had some great students come through it. And Dylan was a kid who started coming into our youth ministry when we were youth pastors. Now, Dylan started when he was about 14 or 15 years old. And the deal with Dylan was this. Dylan was a little bit of a weird kid. And so Dylan was the type of kid who was really quiet. He didn't really have a lot to say. He was kind of awkward as well in conversation. You'd try to talk to him about stuff, and he wouldn't know like the right words to say in order to respond to what you were saying. So have you ever had a conversation with someone where you're like, you are doing all of the work? Like that was a conversation with Dylan. It was just strange. You know, you'd be talking about, hey, how was school today? And all of a sudden you'd be talking about like Area 51 and what kind of aliens might have been found there. It was just, that was Dylan. He's just kind of an odd dude. And so Dylan wanted to get involved in youth. He started taking guitar lessons. He played a little guitar and he was rough. But I took him under my wing because I wanted to get involved. And he was just a good kid. I liked him. And so Dylan, he would play in the band. And there was one Wednesday night Tuesday night that he played in our youth group. And he was doing really well. And I told his sister, who was one of our youth leaders, that, man, Dylan really did a good job. I can tell he's practicing and he's doing really well on guitar. And she said, well, he should do really well. He's like ranked in the world for Guitar Hero. I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, oh yeah, Dylan's a total gamer. You didn't know that? I said, no. She's like, yeah, Dylan, he's so good at Guitar Hero that he doesn't even need to look at the screen for songs anymore because he just memorizes them. And he's like in the top 25 players of Guitar Hero in like the entire world. And like they have competitions and stuff. I was like, what are you talking about? Is he a gamer? She said, yeah. She said, but Guitar Hero is not even the biggest thing. She's like, Dylan is like a World of Warcraft genius. And so I'm like, tell me more. And so this is the deal with Dylan. Dylan, this awkward kid who, when you talk to him, he's just like, he has nothing to say. He's just a weirdo. Dylan like would play World of Warcraft, and he was so good at World of Warcraft that he had built up his own guild. That's what they're called. Your team is your guild. And Dylan at age 15 had a guild of like dozens of players around the world who would basically join his team, and he was their coach. He was their captain. And Dylan was so good at World of Warcraft. I guess there's like, I don't know anything about World of Warcraft, but apparently there's like points and like ways that you can like level up. And you know, I'm a 6th level mage or something like that. And Dylan, no joke, was the highest level that you could be. Dylan was so good that he would just get these bonus characters. He would just make a new player and he would rank them up till they were real high because you could sell those characters on eBay for hundreds of dollars to people who didn't want to do the work. And so Dylan was literally that gifted. He had a team of people who would take his advice and he would lead them into these World of Warcraft battles. This is how weird it was when I discovered how Dylan was in World of Warcraft. This awkward kid who was totally flighty, couldn't hold on to conversation. Dylan would have like team business meetings for his guild. So his team would get together like via Skype and they would all talk about the plan, and Dylan would like chair these meetings at age 15 and he would coach people. And he's talking to people who are like in their 20s and in their 30s, and here's 15-year-old Dylan, he's their boss. Here's how weird it was. Dylan, this is something he told me as I delved deeper into this crazy World of Warcraft. Dylan would fire people from the guild. And I was like, Dylan, okay, wait, you fire people? Yeah, I fire people. I'm like, tell me what that's like. What does that look like? He's like, well, you know, I'll schedule a meeting and we'll get together via Skype and, you know, I'll have them come in and we'll talk a little bit, just a little small talk. And I'll say, so we need to talk to you a little bit about your performance in the guild. And Dylan would like, he probably had his own human resources department. It was crazy. So this 15-year-old kid who's weird, awkward, and super strange just in real world, like, I discovered this whole new world that he lived in. And in this world, Dylan is well-spoken. Dylan has developed these outrageous, incredible leadership skills and talents and abilities. And Dylan has literally built up this successful empire, this kingdom for himself in the world of Warcraft. It was amazing. And I think the moral of this story is this, is young people, if you're here in the room, I just forget college or business school, World of Warcraft, you know, do it. Not really. Mom and dad are like, don't even joke about that. But here's the thing. We all have something in common in life. And it's this. It's just like Dylan, with our lives, we are all building something. There's an area, an aspect of our lives where we are building something with the life that we have been given. And here's the thing, it doesn't matter how old or how young you are. There's a point in our lives. When you die, you are going to leave something behind. You are going to leave behind a legacy of something that you built, something that you made with your life. And we all build different things. I mean, some of us are building up a massive World of Warcraft, you know, kingdom that maybe we'll leave behind to our second rank guild master. I don't know if that's a thing, but you might be building a career. You know, you might be building up an incredible career where you're just advancing through the system. Maybe you're building a business and you started something and it's a business that you want to be able to hand down to your kids. Maybe you're focused on building an incredible marriage and that's the most important thing to you. And in your life, you're focused on building that perfect relationship, or you're building a family. Maybe what you're building in your life is a system of relationships, and stories that when you're gone, someday everyone's just going to sit around and this person's going to tell a funny story and this person's going to tell a story about you. And that what you're building and what you're leaving behind is just that amazing system of relationships. The reality is this, though, is that no matter who you are, no matter how old you are, no matter what you do, you are building something that will outlast you. You are building an empire that is going to live beyond you. Now, I would say this. I would say that our lives are a gift from God, and that as God has given us the gift of life, that he's also given us the responsibility to be good stewards of our lives, and that it's our responsibility to build something that's going to honor him, and that we need to give him a return on his investment of life for us. But the fact is, you don't even have to be religious to know that what you do, what you build with your life, is really the most important thing that you can do. What you build and how you build it are the two most important questions really that we can answer in all of life. And so as we talk and think about the empires that we are building with our lives, as we talk and think about the kingdoms that we are growing on our own, I want to take a look at a story out of the Bible over the next several weeks. And we're going to hang out in this one specific story. We're going to look at the rise of an empire, and we're going to look at the man who started that empire. And over the next several weeks, we're going to pull out some important principles that are going to instruct us and guide us on how we can build the best empire, we can build the best kingdom, we can really build the best life that we possibly can. And so we're going to start in the book of 1 Samuel. We're going to go back to the Old Testament for the next 6 to 7 weeks, and we're going to really dig into this story because there's a lot of great stuff in it. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 1, here's what we find. We find that the nation of Israel, they have moved into this land that God has promised them, and they are kind of developing and growing all on their own. They're taking care of, there's kingdoms around them that they're conquering and pushing out, and they have their own land, they're settled. And at this time in Israel's history, they have these rulers who are called judges. And really, ruler is a strong word. What a judge was in Israel's history, a judge was just a person who was really kind of appointed by God and ratified by the leaders of Israel. And a judge was a person who basically made sure that God's will was carried out, and he was a point of leadership when the nation of Israel needed a point of leadership. Now, Israel had no king. All the other nations around them had kings at this point, and the king would die, and then their son would take over. But that's not how Israel functioned. God would appoint judges. The people would say, this is the right person for the job because God is speaking through them. And that person would show up when God needed them to. He would speak a word of prophecy and guide Israel when he needed. Maybe Israel needed to be led into battle, and a judge would come in and lead Israel to battle. He would take care of disputes that happened in between different tribes of Israel. And so that was how Israel was kind of led. And the reason they were led this way is because it was important from day one, when Israel was established as a nation, that God be their king. It was very important that a monarchy was set up in Israel where God was the ruler. God was the king. He was the ultimate say-so. He was the person they went to when they needed guidance or instruction. And the judges at this point were voices of God. They were God's hands and feet in the world to give them instruction and direction. And in 1 Samuel, the judge of Israel at this time is a guy named Samuel. Now, Samuel had led Israel as a judge from a young age, and he's an older man now, and he was a godly man. He led with wisdom, and he led with the voice of God. But in 1 Samuel chapter 8, we can kind of see there's some transitioning happening. You see, Samuel had some sons that he had raised, and his sons, he had kind of appointed them as sub-judges to kind of help him out in the nation of Israel. But Samuel's sons, they didn't have the integrity that Samuel had. They didn't have the character, and they weren't as godly as he was. And we can see in 1 Samuel 8, verse 1, this is what happens. As Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons to be judges over Israel. Joel and Abijah, his oldest sons, held court in Beersheba, but they were not like their father, for they were greedy for money. They accepted bribes and perverted justice. So they're working for their dad as kind of these sub-judges, but they did not have his character, and they weren't doing a good job. So finally, all the elders of Israel met at Ramah to discuss the matter with Samuel. "Look," they told him, "you are now old, and your sons are not like you. We need you to give us a king to judge us like all the other nations have." So all the elders of Israel, all the elders of the tribes are coming to Samuel like, "Listen, Samuel, you know, you've been doing a decent job. Your sons don't look like they're going to cut it the same way you do. And you know what? Another thing is this. All the other nations around us, they all have kings. You know, the Amorites have a king, the Amalekites have a king, the Philistines have a king. There's all these awesome kings. And every time one of these nations goes to battle, every time one of these nations are under attack, everybody knows the king is going to take care of it. And look, Samuel, we want a king like all these other nations. We want to be like these guys. We want a ruler who will rule over us. He'll be the person who judges over us. And that way we can be like all these other nations who are surrounding us. Story continues. Samuel was displeased with their request. He didn't like it. And so he goes to the Lord for guidance. He says, "God, they're asking for a king. This is totally not how you set things up. This is not how you want things to be. But this is what they're asking for." He's like, "What do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this?" And this is what the Lord says. "Do everything they say to you," the Lord replied, "for they are rejecting me, not you. They don't want me to be their king any longer. Ever since I brought them from Egypt," which was hundreds of years ago when the Israelites were slaves, God led them out of Egypt with Moses. He led them into the promised land. And he's saying this, "Ever since I brought them out of Egypt, they have continually abandoned me and followed other gods. And now they are giving you the same treatment. So do as they ask, but solemnly warn them about the way a king will reign over them." Have you ever asked a question that you didn't really want the answer to? This morning I did. I was down here, the band was getting all set up, and I didn't have anything to do, because that's kind of my job here. I just don't have really anything to do until I show up to talk. And I'm just asking the band, I'm like, "Do you guys need any help? Anything I can do for you? No. Anything I can do to help you? No. Anything I can do to help you? No." And so I just kind of walk down, and then I get to Mitch over here at the drums. And I'm like, "Hey, Mitch, is there anything I can do to help you?" And he says, "Actually, yeah, the drum shield needs to get set up. If you're involved in setup or you're involved in worship in any way, you know this. The absolute worst job in the entire world when it comes to being in the band is setting up that stupid drum shield right there. It is the devil made of plastic. It weighs a ton. It's a pain to move around. It falls apart. And when it falls apart, it feels like it's your fault." And I was like, as soon as Mitch said, "Yeah, the drum shield needs to get set up," I was like, why did I ask him if he needed any help? I didn't want to know the answer to that question. So I helped him get the drum shield up. And Mitch, I hope you're happy. I'm never going to ask for help again. But there's times where we ask questions where we don't necessarily want the answer to them. We haven't thought through. We don't know what's ahead. And we don't want to know what's going to happen. And God is saying this. He's saying, "Samuel, listen, do what they ask. But you need to do this. You need to explain to them what it means for them to be asking for a king. You need to make sure that they know what it means if I say yes to this request that they're putting before me." So Samuel does this. He passed on the Lord's warning to the people who are asking him for a king. And this is what he says. "This is how a king will reign over you. The king will draft your sons and assign them to his chariots and charioteers, making them run before his chariots. Some will be generals and captains in his armies. Some will have glory. And some will be forced to plow his fields and harvest his crops. And some will make his weapons and chariot equipment. Your young men are going to be drafted into this king's army. They're going to be drafted into his household to serve as servants. The king will take your daughters from you, and he will force them to cook and bake and make perfumes for him. He'll take away the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves. and he's going to give them to his own officials. He's going to appoint the people he wants, and he's going to take what's yours for himself, and he has every right to as the king, and he's going to do it. He'll take a tenth of your grain and your grape harvest and distribute it among his officers and attendants. A tenth of all you own, just as taxes for his officials. We all know what that's like. He'll take your male and female slaves, and he'll demand the finest of your cattle and donkeys for his own use. He'll demand a tenth of your flocks, and you will be his slaves. When that day comes, you will beg for relief from this king you are demanding. But then the Lord is not going to help you. So God told Samuel to let the people know, this is what's going to happen. If you get a king, he's going to oppress you. He's going to lead you. He's going to rule you. And, you know, when there's wars, when there's battles, he'll judge, he'll rule, he'll take care of those things. But it will come at a price if a king steps in, and he will oppress you and you will be his slaves. As his people, he will oppress you, and you will serve at his demand. He wanted to make sure that the Israelites knew exactly what they were asking for. Now, how many of you guys have ever asked for something and you had no idea really what the implications or consequences of it were? You asked for something, you don't really know exactly what you're asking for. One time in Kansas City, another story from back then, Lewis was there, and Lewis and I took the captain of our setup team to lunch. Because, Lewis knows where this is going. We took the captain of our setup team to lunch because we wanted to talk about our setup stuff. And if you know me, you know that like literally half of my job is just lunching. It's a verb. I just lunch with people so we can hang out and talk. And so we met with him to talk about setup stuff and just appreciate him. And so we decided we were going to go to Cheesecake Factory because he worked in the city. And so he was close to there. So we go in and we sit down at Cheesecake Factory and we're just taking our orders, and the waiter's coming. And if you've been to Cheesecake Factory, you know their menu, it's like a phone book. Like getting through that thing and figuring out what they have to order is ridiculous. But we figured out what we wanted, and we all ordered what we had. And I was like, you know what would be awesome? Like just an appetizer sampler, just something that we could just snack on before we get here. And I asked the waiter, I was like, I can't find anything in the menu. There's all appetizers, but do you have like a sampler that just kind of samples a bunch of different things? And he goes, oh yeah, it's not in there, but we totally have a sampler that I can bring out. I said, great, bring that. That'll be awesome. And so we're sitting there talking, and, 5-10 minutes later, the server comes out with this gigantic tray. And on this tray are these three huge plates. In fact, why don't you bring that next picture up? Now, it's hard to see, bummer. But he brings these three gigantic plates. This is it. This was the Cheesecake Factory sampler, three enormous plates that covered our entire table of almost every appetizer that they had on their entire menu. And it comes out, and I'm looking at it. This thing could feed three people by itself, apart from everything that we bought. And I see this thing come out, and I'm like, oh, crap. I'm going to have to pay this bill at the end. I'm like, okay, I don't know how much this is going to be, but I'm in my mind, I'm like, okay, how do I justify spending this much money on food at Cheesecake Factory to take Lewis and our setup coat captain up to go eat? And so we eat the food. It was delicious, by the way. I highly recommend it. It comes out, we eat it, and by the end of the meal, the bill comes out, and no joke, it was not in the menu. You couldn't see prices. No joke, the appetizer alone was like $40 on top of the meal that we got. So for the three of us who ate at Cheesecake Factory with all our food and our tip, I signed a bill for like $140. And that was like one of those receipts that I was like, I'm going to put in a big stack of other receipts, and I'll fold it up so that you can't see the number, because I don't want anyone to see that I spent this much money on food. I had no idea how much it was going to cost. I asked for it. I thought it was what I wanted at the time. I just want an appetizer sampler, but I didn't know the cost. And here's the thing. When the bill came due, dang. It hurt. It hurt big time. And here's the thing. Samuel and the Lord are trying to warn Israel. They're like, guys, listen. You're asking for a king, but at some point the bill is going to come due and you're going to have to pay the price for what you're asking for. But we can see this, what happens, that Samuel's warning, it fell on deaf ears. In 1 Samuel 8:19, it says, the people refused to listen to Samuel's warning. Even so, in spite of all of those things that you're telling us that a king is going to do, in spite of all your warnings that he'll oppress us, that we'll be his slaves, that he'll take our property, in spite of all that, we want to be like all the other nations around us. Our king will judge us, and he will lead us into battle. Listen, Samuel, I know you're saying all this other stuff. You're giving us all these warnings, but this is what we want. This is what we think is right. This is what's best for us, and this is what we need. And so Samuel continues. So Samuel repeated to the Lord what the people had said. It says they want a king. And the Lord replied, do as they say and give them a king. And then Samuel agreed, and he sent the people home. Have you ever heard the saying that sometimes that what you wish for may not be what you want for, or be careful what you wish for? Anybody ever tell you that? Be careful what you wish for, because sometimes there's consequences. The law of unintended consequences sometimes tells us that when we wish for something, that what we get may not be exactly what we were looking for. And we can see in 1 Samuel, in the life of Israel, that this is exactly what they were getting themselves into. And there's a principle that I want to pull out of this for our lives. As we build our life empire, we need to recognize this, is that sometimes God says yes when no is a better answer. Sometimes in your life, sometimes in my life, God will say yes when no is a way better answer. When we're building the empire of our lives, we need to be careful what we wish for. We need to be careful what we ask God for. And here's the bigger thing. We need to be careful about where we allow our hearts to lead us, and where we allow our hearts to guide us. Like, we've talked about this before. That's why it's so important that we guard our hearts, because you need to be careful where your heart is leading you. And there are times where we think something is right, where there was times where we want something, where we desperately think this is important to me and I've got to have it. And we need to be careful, because God might say yes when we push and when we push and when we ask and when we demand, when a better answer would be no. And what happens when we do that is we're just like Israel, and we look at the people around us, right? And we look at their lives, and we look at things that they have. And we're like, well, man, they've got a big, beautiful house, and they've got a new car. I want that. I should have that. Why can't I have that? You know, they've got this amazing boyfriend or girlfriend, and I want that type of relationship for myself. You know, they've got respect at work, and they've got power and authority. Or, you know, man, I look at their life and they are just look like they're having fun all the time. And they just, their life is just a constant party. And I want that. I want that for me. And what happens is this, is that when we evaluate our lives by looking at other people's lives, we begin thinking about and prioritizing what we want over what might be best for us, or over what God wants. We begin asking for and pursuing and chasing what we want, what our heart's telling us we need, our own desires, rather than thinking or focusing on what God wants, or even worse, thinking about what he says is best for us. And the reality is that when that happens, the bill is always going to come due. When we're building a life empire, and when we're pursuing the dreams of our heart, the bill is always going to come due. And you, man, you may be sitting there at your table and you may be eating this big, giant, delicious appetizer sampler, and it's awesome and you're loving it. And you may be enjoying every bite because it's delicious. But at the end of that meal, a check is going to set down on the table and you're going to have to pay that bill. After the plates are cleared, you're going to walk away having to pay for something that was never what you thought you wanted to begin with. And God's warning to us as we build our lives is to be careful what we wish for, because there's going to be times in our lives where God might say yes when no is the answer that we really want. Now here's the thing. One question is this. It's like, how do you know? Like, how do I know what God really wants for me? Because I this is my opinion. This is like informed by scripture, but this is not scripture. So, you know, this is the part that you can like set aside and say, that's just Chris. But I tend to think that in most cases, God's default answer to us is yes. When we want something, when we desperately think we need something in our lives, God's default answer tends to be yes. And the reason I say that is because God has given us free will, right? God's given us the ability to choose, to self-determine, to go after the things that we want for ourselves. It's free will. And so here's the thing. If you want to put your hand on a hot stove and hold it there for 3 seconds, God's not going to stop you. You can do that. That's your choice. God's given you free will. And since God's default answer to us in life is kind of in that yes zone, we have free will to choose what we want. It is so crucially important that we have a clear track to understand and a clear track to seek and listen to his voice to know what's best for us and what he wants. So how does that look like in our lives? Back in, you know, in 1 Samuel and Old Testament times, they had judges, they had prophets, they had men and priests, they had men that they could go seek God's will and God would speak through it and God would tell them what to do. I mean, we can see from this passage, Samuel's like, guys, you don't want a king. You're asking for it, but you don't want it. Now, you would think that they would say, okay, I'm going to take God's word for it, but they didn't. And the reality is we often do the same thing. We want something. We see something and we've got to have it. And so, man, we'll even pray about it, right? God, I just really like this girl and she's just super hot and I just, you know, I'm feeling like this is a relationship that might be good. And I know there's warning signs and I know maybe it's not best, but God, will you just show me? Just show me if this is the right move. Show me if this is the right thing for me. And really what we're saying is this: God, I pray that you would send me a check for $1 million if you don't want me to date that girl. Okay? And God, so the Lord, I'll just know. Okay, Lord. God, I just pray that you would just move the stars in the sky to form the word no. And then just as a bonus, just comma my name so I know that that's for me. If you don't want me to do this, God. And so we'll pray about this stuff. And we'll say, God, oh, is it, can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this? But it's not just prayer. God's given us his word to tell us what's right and what's wrong, to guide us on how to live the best life that we possibly can. He's given us the example of Jesus to look at Jesus's life and say, is this something that Jesus would do? Like, no joke, WWJD. That's like a real question maybe that sometimes God would use to guide us. God's placed godly people in our lives to speak wisdom and instruction and direction to. So, man, if you've got a big question, a big decision that you need to make about something you want, man, I would say God's word. I would say people who know God and love God and trust God and prayer, seeking God out to find out if this is something we should do. But even though those things all exist for us, let's be real. There's still times where we're like, oh, God, I just can't hear you. Because what? We're stuffing spiritual cotton in our ears because we don't want to take no for an answer. We want the yes. And God's saying, he's saying, listen, if you do this, the bill's going to come due. There's going to be consequences. There's going to be consequences to this relationship that you're getting into. And if it's wrong, don't do it. But we're like, are you sure, God? I'm just not sure. I'm not really hearing a solid no on this. And we're pursuing it. You know, One thing that I've noticed in people's lives is this, is that a lot of times we can prioritize career, we can prioritize money, and dudes do this especially, right? Because dudes have this mindset, it's like, I need to provide for my family, and you know, I need to be the best provider that I possibly can. And so what we do is we tend to make decisions based on cold hard facts or cold hard dollars. And a lot of times, I've seen families where a guy will get a promotion or a woman will get a promotion somewhere. And it's like, to get this promotion, I need to move to another city. And man, it's so hard to turn this down because the money's huge and State Farm's going to pay my moving expenses. And I don't know. It's just such a big deal. But you don't think through the consequences of what that means for your family, for your children. And listen, I'm not saying like, never move or go away because Compass is so awesome. But I will tell you this, that a lot of times in those decisions, we don't think about the impact that a church community, that a church family has on our lives, on our children, on our marriage. And what we'll do is we'll say, I'll move here to take this job for a lot of cash because, hey, a guy's got to provide, guy's got to make good money. And this is a job opportunity and job's everything. And you uproot and you move your family and you end up at a place and you see your family disintegrate because we can't really find a church that we like and we're not really connected. And so we're not really going anywhere. And then what starts out is a 1 week, a 3 week, a 1 month kind of experiment on not really going anywhere because you can't find anything that you like becomes a family that's completely disassociated and disconnected from God because you wanted a promotion, you wanted a raise. And you didn't listen to the voice of God. And God might have been saying, listen, what's best for you financially is not best for your family spiritually. And so we pursue what we want. We pursue the work. We pursue the relationship. And we chase after it. And we throw up, you know, kind of this cursory, God, is this okay? And then we completely ignore sometimes the fact that God's saying, you don't want this. You don't want this. And God's saying, you need to be careful because I'll say yes. No is the better answer, but I will say yes if this is what you want to pursue. You might be asking for or chasing something right now in your life. I mean, you might be in here and there's something that you have really wanted. And, you know, you're flirting around with this, you know, you're flirting around with this idea of a new job, and you're flirting around with this idea of a new career. Maybe you're flirting around with a guy or a girl at the office and your wife does, or your husband don't know about it. But you're flirting around with these things and you haven't made the decision yet. You haven't acted on it, but you want it. And you're saying, God, I think I really want this. I think this is best for me. I think this is something that I need in my life. And here's the thing. God's saying, be careful, because I'm going to say yes if you keep pushing. And you're pushing for something that's going to oppress you. You're asking for a king that's going to come in, that's going to take my spot in your life. And man, if you do that, you're going to love it for just a little bit. But the bill is going to come due and you're going to pay for it and you're going to regret it. You may be flirting with a financial decision right now. You know, you may be flirting with getting a great big gigantic loan. You may be flirting around with opening up a brand new credit card to buy something that you can't afford on your own. And you're thinking, you know what? I really want it. It's right. And God's saying, don't do it. But if you push, I'll say yes. And then you'll regret it. You're going to pay for it later because the bill's going to come due. You may be here this morning and you've already made a decision in your life. You made a decision in your past and that decision has completely changed the course of the empire of your life that's being built. Maybe it was a relational decision. Maybe it was a financial decision. And now you're looking back and you're going, if I could go back and if I could change that decision, I would do it in a second. Maybe you've already made that decision, but the other shoe hasn't dropped yet. And even as you're listening to me talk right now, you're like, you know what? I overrode God's will. I didn't ask him, or I asked him, but I didn't listen. I thought it was what I wanted, and now I'm paying consequences, or I can see the consequences down the road, because there was a point at which you said, God, I want this, God, I want this, and he said, I'm not sure you want this, and you said, you know what? I want this thing to replace your rule in my life, because I need it. I have to have it. I have to have this person. I have to have this relationship. I have to have this thing, this object. I have to have this job. I have to have it all. We have some friends that we know for a long time, and when they were younger, they got divorced when they had kids, and they got remarried to each other. So both separate marriages, they got divorced, and then many years later, they remarried, and they love the Lord, and God's just doing an amazing thing in their life, and there's amazing people. But talking to them about the past they had, they both had kids with their first marriages. And they were just kind of reflecting on that decision that they'd made to both get divorced when they were younger. And they said this. They said that if we had known the impact that this would have on our kids and our relationship to our children, both of us would have stayed in that marriage. Neither of us would have made the choice to get divorced. Neither of us would have walked away, but we didn't know. We thought we wanted something. They thought they wanted freedom from a broken marriage. They thought they wanted freedom from a relationship that wasn't working. They thought that the best solution to this is just to get out and start over. And 20 years down the road, looking at the consequences, looking at the impact of that decision that they made on their lives, the lives of their children, the lives of their family, both of them looking back said, I would have never done it. My heart and my hope for you is that there's never a point in your life 20 years from now where you have to look back at a decision that you made, that you have to look back on something that you wanted and that you pursued, that you look back and say, I wanted this king so bad because I wanted to be like the people around me. I wanted to have what they had. I just thought it was fair. I thought it was just for me to have that. My heart is this. I don't want you to look back and say, I never would have done that. I would trade back everything just to somehow put that genie back in the bottle, just to somehow rewind and take back the consequences, the bill that we have had to pay because of the choices that we made. And here's the thing is, you know, we have one life to live. We have one kingdom, one empire to build with what we have. And that's it. And every year that passes is another year that we can say, you know what, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be obedient to what you have for me because I know that what you have is best. Or we can bank up another year that someday we're going to look back at and say, I wish I could get it back. But we can't. You'll never get it back. Sometimes God says yes when the best answer is no. So today, what are you asking for? What are you searching for? How are you listening to the voice of God? Because here's the thing, God wants to guide you, God wants to direct you, and he wants to instruct you. Will you listen? Like, everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. You might be in this room this morning, and you might be on the cusp of making a decision or a choice that's something you want and chasing after something that you want. But even as you're sitting here, you're like, this isn't best. This relationship that I'm just on the edge of really jumping all the way into. Man, you know what? I want it and it makes me feel good. It makes me all excited and tingly. But at the end of the day, this is not God's best for me. This is not what God wants for my life. I'm on the edge of making a big financial decision or a big life change decision. And I thought I wanted this. I thought I was excited. And if I'm going to be totally honest, I've been ignoring the voice of God when he's saying no. I've been ignoring the voice of the people who God's placed in my life to put up warning signs when he's saying no. And I'm just on the edge of God saying yes. And listen, if that's you, God's saying it's not too late. And if that's you, you're on the edge of making a decision. I want to pray with you and I want God to move in a powerful way in your life. But if that's you, you need God to help you make the right choice. You need to hear God's voice and be sensitive to his will for your life. You just need to know what he wants for you. I want to pray for you. So no one's looking. If that's you, just slip your hand up right now so we can pray for you. God, thank you, thank you. I need to know God's will. I need to hear his voice. I want to make the right choice. Maybe you're in this room and you're hearing this message and you know I got it wrong. I got it wrong. I asked God for a king and I kept asking and I kept pushing and he kept saying no, no, no. And then God finally said yes. And I got that king in my life and I wish I could take it back. I wish I could go back and change it. Today, here's what God wants you to know. God wants you to know that it's not too late. That God can make up for your mistakes. God can heal the brokenness and heal the scars and wounds that come from that. And that God can make it right. But here's the thing, the decision to make it right starts with you. The decision to say yes to God instead of God saying yes to what you want has to start today. And if you're ready to say, Chris, I've made some mistakes, I've made some bad choices, but today I'm saying yes to God. I'm tired of making him say yes to me. I need God to make this right. I need God to fix my path. I need him to correct what's happening in my life. If that's you, I want to pray for you too. Just slip your hand up. I need God to correct something that I got wrong. Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I am so honored and blessed that you have given us this gift of free will, God, that you love us enough that you allow us to choose you instead of ruling and lording it over us, God, like the king that Samuel describes to the people of Israel. But Lord, with that comes the opportunity for us to miss it. It comes with it the opportunity for us to chase what we want and miss what you have for us. And so Lord, I pray for every single person in this room who has a big decision ahead of them, a choice that they need to make. God, I pray that that decision would be informed by several things. I pray that it would be informed by your word. God, as they seek you out of scripture, I pray that that decision would be informed by the wisdom of godly people that you place in their lives. And I pray that that decision would be informed by the Spirit of God speaking into their hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would open their ears and their hearts to make them incredibly, completely sensitive to what you have for them and what you want to say to them. And Lord, I pray for those of us who are in this room who have made choices in the past that we wish we could take back. Who have, God, in the past, honestly, we asked for a king and we got it. And now we're living in the middle of the consequences, or we're just right on the edge of those consequences happening, and we just wish we could go back and start over, Father. You are God who makes all things new, and I pray that by the redemptive power of Jesus, that you would move in every person who lifted their hands and needs a new life, needs a new beginning, needs a new change. And God, I pray this. I pray that you would set them free from the bondage of listening to their own heart and their own desires. And God, I pray that you would open their hearts and ears to your will and your plan and purpose for their lives. I pray that you would give them the strength and the courage to make the right choice. I pray that you would give them the strength and courage, God, to make a decision that says yes to Jesus, and instead of forcing you to say yes to what we want. And God, I pray that when they do that, that a burden would be lifted from their shoulders even now. God, that you would set them free from the weight of their choices, from the weight of a sinful sexual relationship, from the weight of a bad, sinful financial decision. God, from the weight of making a choice that we know is against your will, but we wanted it anyway. Lord, I pray that you would Let us as your people walk in the freedom and the joy that comes from being obedient to your will and knowing that we are truly living the best life that we possibly can. And I pray, God, that as each of us live a life where we're building an empire, I pray that that empire would honor you. And I pray that that empire would be guided and directed by the Spirit of God. Lord, we love you. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.